Here we are back again. Welcome to another week. Welcome to another podcast. This is 701. If you didn't listen to 700, I'm extremely disappointed that you didn't. Please do. It was fantastic. It is our 700th show. It was with Sean Burgess. We're talking all about crossing the seven emirates, 7 days, 700 kilometers in seven emirates for the 700th show. Thank you for those of you that did listen to it. Thank you to Sean. Thank you to Bert, who suggested that we have him on. It was an awesome show, but this one will equally be as good. We are talking all about another endurance adventure. And I'm joined today by two of my, can I call them colleagues, teammates, to talk all about Val d'Aran by UTMB. Directly opposite me with his brand new bonehead haircut, Mr. Robert Jones.
It's going to make me go faster. Shut up.
Mate, it's about 4 months early, but still. And with her normal, beautifully groomed hair, Ivana is also here.
Whoop, whoop, whoop.
There we go. Isn't it? Actually, I had no idea I was going to kick the show off, but then I saw Rob's haircut, and I was like, that's absolutely brilliant. Robert,
yes.
You are the UTMB master.
Go for it. You're going to ask me weird questions that I don't know the answer to, aren't
no.
you?
No. Explain to people in as simple a term as non-trail running geek term, why is UTMB so important? What's it all about?
In the eyes of many, it is seen as the World Cup of trail running, if you like, culminating in the end of the summer in Chamonix in the French Alps, where you can run 160K across three countries, through France, Italy, and Switzerland. But now they've expanded, if you like, their race, I don't know, portfolio to other places all over the world. You've got China, two races in China, you've got Thailand, and now in the Pyrenees, actually in Oman as well.
Yeah.
To get into these races, you need to have qualifying points. So you need to, if you like, earn your place by racing in other races that have points, which is quite controversial.
Yeah.
To then get into these UTMB sanctioned races.
Mate, something that's super important. You said that it has been known as perhaps the World Championships, the mecca of trail running.
Mm-hmm.
UTMB, the original race is in Chamonix, and it's run in Chamonix or been run in Chamonix for a number of years.
Very long time.
Very long time. And you as a partial, should we call you partial resident of
Why
Germany?
Not?
Just because
yeah.
your mum lives there.
Mate, I qualify.
And it's done at the last weekend of August.
Yeah.
It is like a festival of trail running.
It's brilliant.
Yeah.
So much fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, it turns the whole, well, it actually turns most of the Alps into a party city. You know, there's 30,000 people descending into this small village in the French Alps. If you're not running, you're socializing, shall we say. And the streets are lined with people just having a great time, no matter what the weather.
Whilst other people are putting themselves through absolute torture,
yes.
which is flipping to the Spanish version, which us three are going to, is kind of what we've been conned into doing.
We have.
Which will be lovely. Ivana, tell us your thoughts about running through the Pyrenees.
Well, it will be my first experience running in Europe.
Yep.
So I'm super, super excited, especially because I'm running with you two.
Probably ahead of us.
Well, I'm going for a shorter distance, so hopefully I'll be ahead of you guys.
But mate, as someone who, obviously, you've not run a lot of trail in Europe,
yep.
but the you know what UTMB is. And,
yeah,
and
absolutely.
What does it feel like to sort of be part of an event that is, shall we say, and we'll talk a little bit about how it's sanctioned now, Rob talking, but it is part of UTMB and part of the whole of the mecca of ultra running.
Yeah, exactly what you said, mecca of ultra running. It's an ultimate event to test yourself against other international athletes.
Yeah.
And this is what I'm actually looking forward to, because I haven't tested myself against international scene, so
yeah.
to say.
Yeah.
So I'm super excited for that experience.
Rob, you said it before, and you've run, if we go back in the podcast, UTMB Oman, which...
Oh, yeah, I didn't finish.
Mate, I got you on one show when you did actually finish it.
I did,
it.
Yeah, we did finish it. I finished one and then got kicked out of another.
Your first one was in 2018. 18.
Yes.
And actually, we recorded a show on December the 19th, 2018.
With me and Tom and Sean, right?
With you and... Was Hurls on the show? No. Hurls got his own show.
Me and Otten. That's right.
Yeah. But, mate, the race in Chamonix and the races in Chamonix are quite known because they're the same routes for years and years. Mm-hmm. You guys in 2018 took part in the race in Oman. Under the UTMB brand, it was incredibly difficult. Talk us through the experience there in 2018 and also 2019.
Jesus. It starts off very, very timid, and you get lulled into a false sense of security thinking, oh, this is nice, there's not too many hills. But in the back of your mind, you're just thinking, where is this elevation going to crop up? And then bang.
Really?
It's just relentless. And you thought you'd be able to run more, and you just couldn't. It was, yeah, it was absolute carnage. And I can't remember the stat. It was a crazy stat that I want to say 30% of the participants dropped out by checkpoint one.
Yeah.
It was something weird like that. A lot of people dropped out very, 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 very early into the race. There was a Via Ferrata in the race.
Yeah.
So you're harnessed up to the side of a cliff with helmets.
Ivana's just foaming at the mouth. She loves this kind of stuff.
Exactly. Bring it on.
Just fantastic, fantastic route planning.
Yeah. But, mate, ultimately hard. And you guys were basically, you finished on the morning of like the second day. So it started at 6 p.m. in the evening. You went all through that night, all through the next day, all through the next night.
It was, yeah, 30 plus hours, I believe, wasn't it?
And that was probably your first exposure to that amount of time racing.
Yes, definitely. Longest race I've ever done.
How did that feel?
Again, it sort of all blurs because there's so many things that happen in that time.
Yeah.
Whilst you're immersed in a race. So everything that can go wrong goes wrong, but then everything that can go right goes right. You experience incredible highs where you think you're absolutely invincible, but then you experience these lows where you just want to sit down, eat some chocolate, and just question all your life decisions.
Yeah.
It's everything all in one day.
And a lot of people said, mate, like you said, 30% dropped out, sort of checkpoint one, checkpoint two. A lot of people said it's actually a lot harder than what UTMB in Chamonix was or is because of the brutal elevation.
It was, the brutal elevation, not just that, but then the terrain, the rocks are just, because the rocks, it was a brand new route, the rocks had never been run on.
Yeah.
So they created the route, they created this pathway for most of this event. And so bits where they didn't want to create the trail, it's just sharp, jagged rocks, which hurt, even through your shoes.
Yeah.
So it's just one of those events where it was just stunning and fantastic and brutal and everything all encompassed into one.
Ivana, with your adventure racing experience, mm-hmm. you're not new to sleep deprivation. You're also not new. Talk us through how you cope with those types of things of like brutal terrain, sleep deprived. And I mean, we heard from you when you were racing in Fiji, like you get to a checkpoint, sleep for a few hours, and you don't even know what you're going to do next. So like going into the unknown. How do you cope with that?
Well, I think it's a little bit different than ultra running. Maybe easier because you are not running all of the times.
Yeah.
And you're changing sports. So you can get on the bike and rest kind of your legs a little bit. And you're going pedaling and you rest a little bit your legs. But then running nonstop, that might be a little bit more challenging on your mindset.
Yeah.
You stop, but you rest a little bit, but then you again have to keep going. So I think I'll need to program my mindset a little bit differently this long event, events.
In adventure racing, when you know that there's a checkpoint coming, even if it's in like 3 or 4 hours, mm-hmm. you're just locking your mind on that. You're getting to that.
Yes.
Because that's going to get you a reset.
Yeah, correct.
Whereas in trail running.
Yeah, but the thing is, in trail running, you know where are the checkpoints. You know how long you're going to need to get to the checkpoint. In adventure racing, you actually don't really know.
Yeah.
So that's a bit tricky. I mean, it's kind of similar, not the same, but it's similar torture, I would say.
Let's jump to it then, and let's have a look. I know, Rob, you've got some of the stats, but Val d'Aran by UTMB is a race in the Pyrenees. It's the first time. It was supposed to be run in 2020 for the first time.
Yes.
But on the 9th to the 11th of July 2021, It will be run. The three of us are going there. Their website, at time of recording, says there is 73 days, 14 hours, and 37 minutes. I'm not sure if that's refreshed from when I opened it.
It also actually says registrations are still open.
We'll come to that in a little while as well. Well, it's one of my points, because if people get fired up from the show, then they should definitely go and register. But there are certain criteria that they need to follow to register. Mate, as the same in Chamonix, there are different races.
Yes.
Now, it's a little bit of a different setup here, I think. What's the format in Chamonix? Because that goes for a week and culminates with 170-something K.
Yeah, so they start all the races on different days, so the finish times are staggered. So in effect, you have a race finishing every single day, or you'll have competitors constantly coming through the town every single day. And they have the finish lines are all exactly the same, but the start points are different.
Yeah.
So everything finishes in Chamonix Town Centre.
Now, this race is similar, Val d'Aran in the Pyrenees, where it caters for all different people. There's actually, and I didn't realize this until I did some research earlier, there is a 15K race.
There is, called Sky.
Sky. Let's skip that one for the time being. It doesn't mean that it's not a good race, but let's go to the, who knows, 55K race, which is actually, Ivana, what you'll be partaking in. It's called PDA, which is obviously...
Public display of affection.
Exactly what I'm thinking, you know. But it's called Pides de Aguia. I'm not sure if I've said that right.
So, mate, totally.
You have, shut up. You have 55 kilometers, which doesn't sound a lot.
Yeah, but.
But. You have 3,000 meters of elevation gain. But one of the best things about this race is you have 3,900 meters of elevation loss.
So it's downhill.
So it's actually technically downhill.
Yeah.
So what's your thoughts on what's going on with this?
Well, I'm going to find out when I go there. Well, we live in Dubai. We don't have a lot of great opportunities to train here. Well, we have our mountains, but this is what it is. So... you guys know, either Hatta, Shovka, or Fujairah.
Yeah.
And just, do as best as I can to be on the trails. And also a lot of strength work required as well. I know my legs are going to be absolutely burning, but I'm going to be ready for that.
It's interesting because it actually tops out at 2,600 meters above sea level. Which is...
oh, ouch, I didn't know that.
And that's that as well, from about 8,000 meters, from about 8K... to about 28K is one huge climb.
It's just a nice...
it's like you've got a 20K climb.
That's awesome. Going to be amazing.
At the beginning, yep.
Yeah, but that's a good thing. It's pretty much the first half is incredibly lumpy, and then it drops down, and then it goes back up again. But one of the most beautiful things is there's only 6% of this race on asphalt, with 79% of it being on trail. So people
that's
can
good.
Expect, yeah, super good. And that will probably be literally single track trail or from marker to marker. So there won't be, there's no road.
And nature is absolutely stunning.
The GR11, and we went on one of the GR routes, which was stunning.
Yeah.
Stunningly beautiful in Corsica.
Amazing.
So the GR series are lovely.
It's weird, though, that this race starts and finishes in a different place, which obviously it has to if you have a net loss of 3,900 meters. Anyway, hopefully you start and finish where we start and finish, or hopefully you finish where
so my race is basically on 9th or 11th?
On the 10th, and then we're on the 11th, I think.
Okay.
That's how it works.
Probably the 15K then is on 9th.
Yeah. I'm not too sure, but that's one of the races. So people are not super comfortable on longer races, can obviously have an opportunity to enter into that. There is a certain, have you got it there, Rob? There is a certain prerequisite. Yes, you need,
four.
Now you are the master of these points, mate. Explain to us how ITRA, which I do know what it stands for, International Trail Running Association. I'm not a complete amateur. How does one... But this is the thing. We ran a competition on Instagram recently for people to come to the race. We were giving away a free bib for the race.
Mm-hmm.
And some people wanted to come, but they did not have any ITRA points. Talk us through briefly about ITRA points, mate.
So ITRA, or International Trail Running Association points, are handed out depending on the severity or length of a race. Now, race organizers can apply for these points. They'll submit how, where the race is, the terrain, the elevation, the distance, et cetera, and then UTMB or ITRA will award them with these points. To get into a UTMB sanctioned race, you need to have collected a certain number of points between set dates.
Right.
Usually, it's 18 months, something like this.
It's actually a really cool system, right? Because yeah. it kind of makes sure that runners have the right amount of experience and exposure to the trails,
exactly.
And you're not entering. I mean, because that's where we started. You, Ivana, you did the Mount Sana race just before Christmas.
Yep. Just before Christmas. December. Yeah.
60K, which took you how long?
6 hours and 34 minutes.
Okay,
I think.
Okay, so just over 6 hours, and what was it? It was only about 1,500 meters elevation that race. So you're going super fast the whole time, whereas this and running the whole time, whereas when we introduce 3,000 meters elevation, this game is gonna change.
A different story completely. Yeah.
Completely different story. And I think a lot of people look at it and go, oh, it's only 55K, I can do it. Mm-hmm. But you have to prove that you can do it with 4 ITRA points. Generally a 50K race only gets you about 2 as mm-hmm. well.
Yeah, but
so it's quite interesting. I'm not sure how many points you get from it.
I think 4 as well, I think.
Okay. Yep. So you need 4 to get in, and you get 4, which generally, if it's a, as I say, if it's a race about 50K, it's normally only about 2 points. So if they're giving out 4 points or they're demanding 4 points, this means that this race is fucking hard. Yeah. Anyway, let's move on to race number 2. Rob, they have a similar distance in Chamonix, which
100.
Is a race that you've done.
Yeah.
And that's called C something as well.
CCC.
And this one is called CDH, no PDA. Yeah. Go on then. And please, can you pronounce what CDH stands for?
Camindre Air.
And he says, I butchered the PDA. Anyway, let's move on. Mate, tell us a little bit about this race, because this is quite cool. I mean, they're all cool races. And folks, whilst we're doing this, if you're in the car, don't do this, but if you're at home or can, have a look at aranbyutmb.com, and you will see some of the beautiful pictures of this area. Rob, tell us a little bit about the 105-kilometer race.
So this race, you've got 105K. It's a route through the wildest and highest parts of Val d'Aran. There's two very different sections. The first is the really tough mountain ranges, where they prime you for the second half, if you like, where it's loads and loads of water, where you see like the lakes, the waterfalls, and the rivers, and all that sort of stuff. The first 35K of this race is all uphill.
Really? That's mental, isn't it?
Yeah. It's really, really tough. But the total race is about 6,500 up, descend 6,200. So you've got more vertical gain than you lose. And that's actually very similar to CCC in Chamonix. So they're all very similar distance,
yeah.
Very similar elevation profiles. Very nice.
And they all, it all finishes in the same place in Vilha?
Yeah, the start and the finish point are again different.
Different places. Mm-hmm. And this is another one, if you're thinking to enter, yes, hop over to the website, but please make sure you have some ITRA points in your pocket.
You need 6 for this one.
You need 6, which is also interesting. You're only allowed them from a maximum of 2 races. Mm-hmm. So you have to have completed 2 races of quite some difficulty in order to get those 6 points.
And what's good with these races and the longer ones generally from the UTMB group, if you like, if you finish these races, you generally get automatic entry into UTMB Chamonix.
Yeah.
One of the races, usually it's CCC or TDS,
yeah.
Which is 145 kilometers, if right. I get that right, mm-hmm. or OCC.
Yes.
And that's if they're on, yeah, you normally get direct access without having to go through the lottery or the ballot.
And that's available this year as well. So if it is one of your goals to race in Chamonix, to go to the Mecca of ultra running and to be involved in one of those races, then this race, all you have to do, I'll say this very lightly, is just finish the race. Which, because this race hasn't been run before, we're not quite sure of the dropout rates.
it'll be good.
But hopefully if you enter it, you will get
we
through.
We are not thinking about dropping out.
We're not dropping out.
Of course.
We are not about dropping out, but there might be some interesting things. But again, I think like you said, Ivana, and on these courses, one thing that is important is there are numerous checkpoints along the way. Mm. For example, this course has 7K, 13K, 27K, 41K, blah, 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 all the way through, where there's various different... There's actually one on this race at 91K where it shows like a hotel / hostel, so you can sleep.
9K before the finish.
Weird.
Just if you're really, really desperate, you can have a nap.
You see that though? It's like a hut and a bed.
It's so bizarre.
I'm not too sure what that's all about. There's three pubs along the way. That looks like pints of beer. I'm not sure if they're actually pubs or if it's just refreshment tables.
For people who have not been to a race like this, if you go to your bog standard, well, anywhere in the UAE anyway, but it's just a small group ultra race. The checkpoints are just small tents, aren't they? Maybe you have a few bananas, a few jelly beans. These guys, when you get to a checkpoint, you're talking football field covered, like hot soups, full meals.
Yeah, it's good.
Selections of hams. It's like being at a brunch.
Yeah.
Support, your friends and family are lined in to support you, although I'm not sure if that'll still be the case with COVID.
Yeah,
might change, but they are next level.
Yeah, they're super good. And actually, at times when they go through potentially mountain villages, there could be the local pub and there could be a live band going on during the daytime. At nighttime, they're a little bit less inspiring, shall we say.
Me and Heidi ran one once in Switzerland, and it was an entire school that they'd rented out in the summer. And you're in the entire school was just awash with runners, people eating, sleeping, bleeding, whatever it might be,
squealing.
Yeah.
And then we go to sort of the big race. It's not the biggest and best, but if you are keen for something a bit longer and you have points for something a bit longer, the longest race as part of this sort of festival, Val d'Aran, in the Pyrenees by UTMB is 162 kilometers, Robert.
It's fairly punchy.
The good news is that this race starts and finishes at the same point, so we don't have to worry about getting lost on the way to the start. All we have to do is make sure we don't get lost on the way to the finish.
Yeah, it's not the distance, it's the elevation, the ascent and descent that's going to, I think, be the make or break of us.
Here's the answer to your question, Ivana. Our race starts on the 9th at 6 in the evening. Your race starts on the 10th at 6 in the morning. So we'll try and catch you up.
Got a 12-hour head start.
I'm sure that these races race a lot on the same trail because they finish all in the same place.
They all overlap, don't they, in certain sections?
Do we know the cutoff times?
That's a very good question. And I don't think... They have put some time charts in, but I don't know if...
I was checking that.
Actually, yes, it does say. If you look down, mate, on the... So basically, this race starts at 6 p.m., so the 162K starts at 6 p.m. You have until 1 a.m., so you have 7 hours to complete 30 kilometers. So that's the first cutoff point. So if you are going particularly slowly, which hopefully our bus will not be going too slowly, then you might be asked to relax at a certain checkpoint. So you've got 7 hours to do 30 kilometers. So that gives you a little bit of scale as to how slow some of the progress could be, because what you mentioned there, Rob, is that this course has 10,600 meters of elevation, which, comparing to Mount Everest at 8,898, it's quite a lot.
You're going up to the top of Everest and back down again.
Yeah.
Because you're back to the start.
What did we do when we ran Corsica? 13,000.
Yeah. And that was 250. That felt aggressive.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
It'll be fine.
This lends itself to slightly different training. As Ivana was saying, it needs a lot more strength. It needs a lot more time on trails. There actually isn't, and this is what's interesting, because we spoke at the start that it's ultra trail running and it's the mecca of trail running over in Chamonix. But actually, in some of these races, there's not a lot of running.
Yeah.
So, what do you identify, Robert, as being the key ingredients to being successful in the 162-kilometer race?
What's my low-hanging fruit? Is that what you're asking me?
Yeah.
Well, I go with two things. One, specificity, so time on trail. Get as much time on trail as you can and bring up your lowest end speed. So I've said this before, lots of people try and work on that top end speed. They want to get faster, they're 5K, 10K. That isn't going to help you here. But what will help is if you can bring up your hiking speed or your ultra trot, if you like. If you can increase that by a minute a K over 160K, you are winning.
That's like almost 3 hours.
Exactly right, yeah.
Wow, this guy knows things.
Yep.
That's what I've been doing secretly without telling you.
I just saw you calculated it well.
I actually saw you swimming yesterday. That's why I wasn't surprised when you were pointing out where the lakes are on that last course.
If you read the brief of this race, it says, hang on, where is it? Air, fire, earth, and water. There you go.
Yeah.
You got to train the water.
You know something that we don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
You want to be ahead of the game?
And I mean, that's one of the biggest things, though, isn't it? Because there's not a whole lot of running. If you have the ability to sort of hike up some of these passes, and that one from checkpoint 7 to checkpoint 8, it goes from 70, it's a 13K leg, or from checkpoint to checkpoint, and it has just over 1,200 meters of elevation in 13K.
Yeah.
So that's almost like, it's a little bit more aggressive. If you take, to create some context for those of you that are in the UAE, if you take something like Jebel Hafit, which is the steepest mountain, that's 13K, that has 800 meters of elevation. So this has another 400, so 50% on top of that in just a 13.5K leg, which I think that's the most aggressive part, right?
Yeah. In terms of, percentage, there's bits, there are bits that are shorter and steeper for sure.
Yeah.
And even like, if you look at for the last section, when your legs are fried, you're going to be running maybe 20, 25 hours. The last checkpoint is 8K with over 1,100 meters descent.
Which people massively, massively underestimate, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's going to be no quads left at all. There's going to be bits of people hanging off everywhere in that last section.
I think at around 55K is where we find one of your lakes, mate. We're down at 600 meters.
There you go. That's where the swimming is going to pay dividends.
And this course also, and that's why I believe it's a similar route for a lot of it, it tops out at 2,600 meters. So one of the interesting things is that depending on the weather, it will, depending on the top temperature, it will definitely get quite cold anyway at the top, but it could be quite hot. So we're going to get some quite interesting temperature swings. Have you found the mandatory equipment list, mate? You were talking about a new pair of waterproof trousers earlier.
Well, actually, I got pulled up for this last time I did one of these races that I didn't have kit and I had to go to the race village and buy something new, which stung me an absolute fortune. So I'm going
to... Mate, you got a really nice Compress Sport jacket that you've worn
once. I know, I'm trying to find the matching trousers.
They haven't yet publicized the kit list.
No, but usually for these sorts of races, you need to be able to survive with everything in your rucksack if something goes wrong.
Yeah.
So it's full first aid kit, waterproofs, thermals, two head torches, the usual. And
then there's at 103K and 147K. No, 103K, there's a drop bag. So you're allowed to, in the long race, you're allowed to drop something or a bag of something at 103K. Rob, what would you put in that bag? New legs?
Maybe, yeah. Maybe some poles, maybe coffee. I'll tell you what I'll put in that bag.
Jet boil.
I just thought, yes, that's exactly it. Jet boil is going to go in that bag.
They'll have hot water, I'm sure.
And we'll need, actually, there's two places we have a jet boil each that we could access. So we'll be able to put a jet boil in both drop bags.
I think we should just bring Moses with us.
I think we could take Moses, the rocket, and the grinder. Yeah. That would be...
Put Moses in a drop bag. Yeah,
put Moses in a drop bag. I'm not sure. But interesting that, because at 100K, you can have a whole bag of new food.
Food, yeah.
New clothes if you wanted. Warmer clothes if you, or extra clothes. I think that's going to be one of the keys as well, especially when we look at... It's quite interesting because it starts at 6 p.m. and there's an insane climb from sort of checkpoint 7 to checkpoint 8, that 13.5K climb is at 70 kilometers in, which I would forecast being around lunchtime or just a bit after on the second day.
Mm. It's actually one of those races as well where you're starting quite up. You're starting at about 1,000 meters,
yeah.
And the first 10, 15K is all uphill again.
Yeah.
It's like most of these races, they like to put you in the mountain range right at the start, and then you just go up and down and up and down and up and down and up and down.
Yeah. Very strategic as well, because you could be, if we carry on from that, you could peak out at 2,600 meters literally in the middle of the night or very early morning, which is the coldest time.
It's not good for views either.
It's really bad for selfies.
Yeah. I've not thought about Instagram when they'd be putting this race together.
Yeah, although I've seen some of the footage. It looks quite good, mate. So if we stay awake into the second night, we might actually get something quite decent. But three absolutely fantastic races. If you did want to enter into the 160K race, my honest advice is you should have done at least one or two multi-stage races. You should have run 100 miles at least once or twice. You will need to have, because you will need to have 8 ITRA points. And then you get, when you complete it, you get what you were talking about there, Rob, before you get straight into UTMB.
Ah, that's good.
Or CCC or TDS or OCC.
I'll take your pick.
You can, so long as you have enough ITRA points.
I'm in for TDS this year, actually, so you should all come to TDS and come and have a race with me. Please.
There we have it. So, Valdran by UTMB in the Pyrenees. If anyone's interested, give us a shout. Us three are going to race. Mm-hmm. Ivana is going to do incredibly well in the 55K nice and short, and she's an incredibly good female runner. Robert and I are going to try and finish the 160.
I think we might need to play some mind games with people on this.
The 162, just so we can go to Chamonix next year. And then, like, this is how messed up it is, because you finish the 162, you go through hell, you go through two nights, not sleeping, there'll be all sorts going on. And that gets you entry into a race that's even longer and a little bit harder. It's like, are we for real?
And you should be grateful for it as
and
well.
And we should be grateful. And on top of that, we need to gather some more points. What a sick system. Do you know what the elevation of UTMB Chamonix is?
I think it's around 11,000 as
it?
Well.
So yeah. Something similar.
It's a little bit more aggressive than this.
Yeah. But it's a little bit longer as well. It's 178.
Yes.
So
yeah.
It's just over 100 miles, whereas this one's just 100 miles. Just 100 miles. Nothing serious. Give us all a shout. Follow us over on social media. We will post as much of our training as we can. We have been posting it. Stuff that Ivana said, you will see a lot more of. Strength work for the mountains, getting out into the mountains. And we're excited. Thank you, UTMB, for having us. It should be... should it be fun?
Yes, definitely.
Type 2 fun.
Type 2 fun, exactly. Yeah. Folks, if you do have any questions, hit us up. Head over to aran by utmb.com. If you're there and you see us, come and say hi if we're not asleep. Thanks a lot for listening. Catch you next time.